One Man Family, winner of 47 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 27th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Chapter 17, Book 133 of the Barber Family Saga. Today, seven dates with seven women. At 3:45 on a pleasant January afternoon, Miss Sharon Barber, high school senior, walking home from the bus stop, bending backward under a load of books, which she carries in the current fashion, braced in tears against her stomach, is surprised to find her father's car in the driveway. She swings the back door open, holds it briefly with her hip, and goes in with the customary greeting.
Hi, Mom. Any phone calls?
Shh. Your daddy's talking on the phone.
Oh, goodness, what a load of books.
Daddy's home early.
He had some business with Joan.
Gee, did you know we were in the paper twice yesterday? There was a story about Joan's divorce, and a gossip column had a big hint about Penny and a married man.
We're not going to discuss it, except to say this. And you girls pay attention. This shows how easy it is to tarnish your reputation.
Yeah.
A family can spend 50 years building up a good name, and then somebody can ruin it overnight. That's true of girls, especially.
Yeah.
If any of you girls make a mistake when you marry, the way poor Joan did, or go with the wrong people, the way Penny has, and the next thing you know, people like Emily Stewart begin talking, and it goes all over town.
Gosh, I never realized it before, but with six girls in this family, our reputation can hang by a thread. Six people to make mistakes.
I'm glad you appreciate the problem.
But we can't all marry tall boys with good incomes from nice families with Anglo-Saxon names, all members of our church. One of us is bound to pick an oddball like Ross.
Well, I don't see why.
You know what Mr. Greer said in class today? He said that big families...
Ross, I'm going to hang up now.
Gee, has Daddy been listening all this time?
Ross, okay, I'll come out and see you. Drop it for now.
I thought when Joan was divorced, that'd be the end of it.
Things never end the way you expect.
All right, I'll come out there tomorrow. Goodbye, I'm hanging up.
Sharon's here, Jack.
Oh, hi there, Sherry.
Daddy, why were you talking to Ross? Gee, I thought after Joan's divorce, that'd be...
It's a long, complicated problem. Let him handle it. Now, what does he start to say about Mr. Greer? Mr. Greer was talking about big families.
Good, that's a fascinating subject. What did he say?
Well, he said that big families expose more facets to life. When there are lots of boys and girls in a family, well, the boys have a better understanding of women, and women of boys. Also, he said there are more people to fail or succeed, and more chance for scandal, like Penny in the gossip column and Joan getting a divorce.
You weren't talking about Penny in class, surely.
Daddy, really, of course not. That's almost insulting.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Greer says people underestimate the intelligence of teenagers by about 57 IQ points.
If he's right, that's very alarming.
Okay, if you don't want to be serious, I'll go up and wash my hair. And you can have your private secret conversation about Ross. But if there's a call for me while I'm in the shower, yell or hammer on the door.
Here, let me help you. You need all those books?
Every one of them, every single night. Mom, if I get a call, it'll probably be Jerry Beeson because he's going to have seven dates with seven different girls between now and St. Valentine's Day.
Huh? What did she say?
I think she said Jerry Beeson is going to have seven dates with seven different girls between now and St. Valentine's Day.
That's what I thought. Seven dates? Now, what does that mean?
I don't know. They speak another language sometimes.
When is St. Valentine's Day?
February 14th.
That kid hasn't got much time. Find out more about that.
I will, don't worry. Oh, now, what about Ross?
Oh, I listed the possible consequences if he keeps on annoying Joan, but I don't think it reached him. I'll have to see him face to face.
Well, did he seem more coherent?
Hank says the guy knows exactly what he's doing. I don't know. I'll go see for myself. Joan's afraid to set a wedding date.
Sure, that's the whole idea, isn't it?
Yep, I'm getting tired of it.
I'll get it. Why don't you put on your slippers and be comfortable?
Oh, Nikki and Claudia want to see me. I gotta go over there for a minute first.
About Penny?
I suppose so.
Hello?
Is Janie there?
Oh, I'm sorry, she hasn't come home from school yet. This is Mrs. Barber. Who's calling, please?
Jerry Beeson.
Oh, yes, Jerry. Well, I'll tell Janie you called. Will you phone back?
Okay. Oh, is Mary Lou there?
No, Mary Lou had after-school sports today. We expect her about 5.
Yes, ma'am.
Shall I tell Mary Lou you asked for her, too?
Okay. Is Sharon home yet?
Yes, she is.
Oh, she is.
Well, do you want me to call Sharon?
She's washing her hair.
Oh, hold the phone. Just let me handle this. This is my department. Oh, Sharon! Sherry!
Coming! Was that the phone?
Look out, you're dripping.
Who is it, Mom?
Jerry Beeson. Did you tell him I was washing my hair?
Of course not.
Thanks. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Say, Sherry.
Yes?
You hear about my plan to date 7 different girls before St. Valentine's Day?
Yes, I did.
Well, I've got my car. How about a Coke right now? Let's talk over a date for Friday.
Mom, may I go out with Jerry for a Coke now so we can talk about a date on Friday?
Yes, by all means.
But, Jerry...
I gotta find out about this. Tell him to come right over, Sherry. We'll all be here.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
There are many isms in the world of today. Some good, some bad. But there is one ism there can never be enough of. Humanitarianism. Here's a little episode illustrating how a United States Air Force sergeant and his wife combined a bit of humanitarianism with Americanism. And how, even though handicapped by a language barrier, their efforts worked out very well. It all happened on a dingy street in Fukuoka, Japan. A Japanese couple suddenly dashed out into the street, the woman clutching a baby in her arms. The couple signaled frantically, but the traffic flowed by, ignoring their efforts for help. Finally, one car came to a stop. The occupants were Tech Sergeant Oliver A. Morris and his wife, out to enjoy a late afternoon and evening off duty. What moved Sergeant Morris to stop? Later he found that hard to explain, unless perhaps it just seemed the human thing to do, for neither he nor his wife knew any Japanese. Yet those pathetic figures in the street somehow conveyed great distress and urgency. Sergeant Morris sensed there was something to be done and in a hurry. Much later he learned the baby had been seized with convulsions. The parents had rushed to a small hospital nearby, and its only doctor was out. They knew of another physician a mile and a half away, and were trying to flag down a taxi when Sergeant Morris came along. The airman bundled them into his car and sped off in their search for a doctor, whom they finally succeeded in locating. When the spasms of the baby were finally checked, the woman looked up with brimming eyes and said, as an interpreter translated, "My husband and I, we have been afraid of Americans before. Now we are glad to know such fine people." It cost the Morrises much of the carefree evening they had previously planned. But their unselfish actions towards that Japanese family brought a feeling of goodwillism that will never be forgotten. Sergeant Morris and his wife also gave all of us a thought to remember. We are Americans. As we go, so goes America.
A small red fenderless two-seater with oversized tires comes through the public gates to Seacliff and manages to stop at the curb in front of the Jack Barber's.
How's that? 5:45 on the dial.
You'll be popular with Daddy. Come on in and meet him.
Oh, I'll meet him Friday.
Oh, please, he wants to meet you tonight.
Why?
I don't know, but he does.
Sharon, tell Jerry to come in.
See? Come on, he's waiting.
What have I done? Well, okay.
He can remember when he was a high school boy himself.
Gosh.
Daddy, this is Jerome Beeson. He's vice president of the senior class.
Oh, hiya, Jerry. Come on in. This is Mrs. Barber.
Yes'm. How do you do?
Hello there. We're glad to see you, Jerry.
Yes'm.
Did you make that car yourself?
Mostly, yes'm. My brother and I and some kids in the neighborhood.
Has a highly individual look.
Daddy.
Oh, that car will take it. It's built for punishment. But I'm careful and we always wear seatbelts. Say, Mr. Barber, I want to take Sherry to dinner and a show Friday. Is that okay?
I'd like to go, Daddy. Mom, I'd love to.
Well,
what time will you be home?
12 o'clock on the dial, sir.
Well, I think that's all right, Betty, don't you?
Well, I think that's fine, yes, if they don't drive too fast.
No, ma'am. Is Janie home yet?
No, Janie stopped at Ellen Webb's for dinner. They're studying Latin together.
He wants to take Janie out on Saturday.
Yeah, dinner and a show.
I see. Well, call her tomorrow.
It's a deal. What about Mary Lou?
Well, she's over at her grandfather's just now.
And she got a date for Sunday afternoon, do you know?
I don't believe so.
Well, yeah. I'll call her up, too.
Jerry.
Sir?
Pardon me, but I understand you're dating 7 women between now and St. Valentine's Day.
Yes, sir.
It's a little unusual, isn't it?
Well, yes, sir, kind of. Well, in fact, I'm the only one doing it.
Well, would you mind, just as a matter of curiosity, would you mind telling me why?
Well, no, sir. Well, in private, I wouldn't mind.
Will you girls excuse us? Come on, Jerry, let's step outside.
Certainly.
I'll even open the door.
I figured this one out myself, but I don't want to talk it around until I see how it works.
Son, I'm fascinated. Give it to me play by play.
More of the barbers in just a moment. Did you know that an American citizen was once arrested for trying to vote? In 1872, 47 years before the adoption of the 19th Amendment, Susan B. Anthony was one of the leaders of women's rights in America. It was in that year that she entered a New York polling place and insisted that, as an American citizen, she be allowed to vote. But she was arrested, taken to court, and fined $100 and the cost of prosecution. Susan Anthony refused to pay either, and insisted that she would continue to fight against unjust and unconstitutional laws, which, as she put it, tax, fine, imprison, and hang women, while denying them the right to representation in the government. Because of public sentiment in her favor, she never did pay her fine. Through her fight for the privilege to vote, Susan Anthony added an important page to your political history.
Jack Barber and young Mr. Jerome Beeson stop at the curb beside Jerry's car. The young man gives a quick, cautious look over his shoulder and begins.
A lot of guys are going steady, you know?
Yes.
What's the gag this year? Even at dances, you shuffle around all night with the same dame. It gets to be work. But if you cut in, oh, I don't know, the next thing you know, somebody's sore. Or the gal latches onto you and you practically have to get a divorce to get free.
Yes, go on.
Well, this is the way I figure. When I tell everybody I'm going to have 7 dates with 7 women, all sides know it isn't going to be permanent with more than one at the most. So each girl is extra nice, hoping I'll pick her to go steady with, see? And the guys don't get sore because it's only for once, you see? And maybe they're trying to get free anyhow. Who knows? And if I don't like a girl, well, I'm out of it easy. Nobody's hurt. It's a good way to try out 7 different women and keep the doors all open and the breeze going through.
Gary, you're going far, son. Come on over any time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Barber. I'll be here 3 more times anyhow. You can count on that.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carl Denis Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 18, Book 133, Publicity for Penelope Lacey. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, now in its 27th year, is a Carl Denis Morse production and comes to you from California.
One Man's Family has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.